Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-hosts Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, you guys. How you doing, Bill?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm very pleased to be here this evening. Bob?
Audience, tonight we're going to... We had a lot of discussion in terms of current events, and we decided to forego current events and give a overall synopsis of prophetic metaphors as applied to spiritual Egypt. The Exodus will come up, spiritual Sodom and Gomorrah, mixing in a short study on Hebrews 10, and continuing on, we're going to do a very short segment on Revelations 11. We'll be working on that next week. Chris, would you like to begin on the spiritual Egypt?
Yeah, we, folks, you know that we bring these shows out every week, and we're just, just tracking right with you. I mean, the Lord just opens this stuff up and we bring it out, and this is what we do. We just share our week's worth of studying I mentioned last week that, Bill had piqued my interest probably a month or 6 weeks ago about Revelation 11. We had a discussion about it, and it's been a tricky piece of scripture. But Bill said that, we figured that there's a really big key here in understanding the events and the timeline at the end of the age here. And it's hard because the book of Revelation is a vision, and John must have just been writing frantically down, writing down everything he saw. It's a layer upon layer upon layer of the account of what John saw when he was taken away in a vision. So it's really tricky for us in this finite world that we're living in to bring it out in the way that the Lord intended. But He did give it to us for our admonition, and we're just attempting to put words to it that we can get our minds around, and it's just not easy, but it's also really fun, and it's really challenging and exciting. And and last week I just it's been funny because I see the Lord's Spirit just kind of moving, it's just, while we were doing the show last week, it dawned on me that we're seeing an account of the Exodus here as far as the replaying of the plagues. Because it says clearly that all these things happen for examples, for our admonition upon whom the end of the world has come. And specifically, that portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, is talking about the camp at Mount Sinai, and you know what happened, you know, just before that event was the you know, the Red Sea and coming up out of the sea and you know, escaping Egypt and the plagues, what the plagues did, you know, the plagues you know, hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, we just see all these similitudes today as the modern Pharaoh is you know, the hearts are hardened, and it's just it's so neat to see this this playing out, and it's not only this, but also where it's heading, because it's stuff that I'm getting glimpses of. I can't even talk about it yet. Are just so exciting, you know, because what's happening now is in this times of great apostasy, you know, the church has forsaken the new and everlasting covenant, and you know, they've fallen back under the old covenant. Is what's happened. They've put themselves back under the law, the very law that we see the account of here at the time of the Exodus. And this is why the first trumpet comes down on Mount Sinai. And it's going to be very interesting to see what the Lord brings out in the weeks to come here concerning all this. But the you know, the scripture, the account of the Old Testament and the prophets is a you know, just a physical account of what we see taking place in the spirit in all these scenarios, and the stuff that we're going to bring out tonight, hopefully with the Lord's leading, should just continue to let us tie this together as we try to get our arms around it. We want to understand it because we want to be ready. We want to be ready against the third day. That's what it says right here, right at this, in this portion of Scripture in Exodus. Because that's what we're called to do, is to be ready against the second coming. Be prepared. It's going to be so different than what people are expecting. And, you know, he's given a glimpse to his servants, the prophets. And, you know, we're just trying to stay out of his way as he reveals it to us. And it's just exciting.
Bill?
Amen. Yes, the covenant, it's something that's very little talked about. I'm engaged right now in some emails, and it's with a person that's been in the church for many, many, many decades. And I can just tell that people have this mentality that Jesus died on the cross and did everything for you. And you know, not that this person per se I'm speaking of, in this email, he sees a lot of this too, but I'm trying to explain how we're to be perfected in Christ through the Holy Ghost. And, you know, as the Holy Ghost comes into you, you have more light. The Lord gives you more light. And when the more light you have, the more light that you have to walk in now, you might say, to whom much is given, much is required. And as you grow in the Holy Spirit, you get more truth, more knowledge. You're convicted in the Spirit more of the sin that needs to be purged out of you. And I'd like to read, you know, you were speaking of being under the Old Testament covenant there. I'd like to read from the book of Galatians chapter 4, just a few verses here that pertain to that, as Paul used as an allegory. He says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman." Well, in this description here, the bondmaid is the apostate church. The free woman is that born of the wilderness, a woman in the wilderness, the who is on Mount Sinai with the Mount Zion with the Lord, and those who are walking and keeping covenant, true born again Christians. But he was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh. So the bondwoman is born after the flesh. In other words, Paul is speaking here of Old Testament Israel, comparing it to born again Israel. But it's also an explanation of those walking in the flesh. It says that the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born after the promise. Well, the promise is we walk in the Spirit. We don't walk after the flesh. Which these things an allegory, for these are two covenants. So yeah, there's two different covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. That's the covenant with Moses. That's being under the law. That's being judged under the Ten Commandments if you're not in Jesus Christ. If you are not born again, of the blood, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and walking in covenant, then you're back under the law at Mount Sinai. Now, the good news is you can be grafted back in again. And then he says, this is for Agar, is Mount Sinai in Arabia. And, you know, and that's the whole description of the law of Moses. But Jerusalem, which is above, that's the born-again Christian. We're seated in heavenly places. We've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Heaven is above. Heaven's my throne. The earth is my footstool. It's a higher spiritual level. But Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all, this is the free woman, Sarah. So you're not under the law anymore. You're not under the judgment. You're written in the book of life. When you're not written in the book of life, then your name's going to be found in the books. And that's under the law of Mount Sinai.
And audience, you know, since the churches have leavened the gospel message, everything that they teach in terms of our Lord Jesus Christ and the finished works of the cross is turned upside down. So when you're studying your self-approved and you're finding these spiritual signatures throughout the scriptures, and you're imparted with the Holy Spirit that, you know, this is pretty sobering revelation from our Lord Jesus Christ to us now, right now. Because it's telling a story that you're supposed to know, because if you want to know the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ, read the gospel. And the Lord will impart the Holy Spirit for remembrance of all of these things in your studies. Read the Bible. We recommend the King James Version Bible because it elevates our Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't matter what Bible, if the Holy Spirit's teaching you, it doesn't matter. You're in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. You've repented of your sins. You're seeking to do His will. And you're recognizing that, you know, prophecy, because I'm studying prophetic revelations, because that's what I'm told to do, will reveal to you these spiritual truths that, you know, your last generation is likened unto spiritual Egypt. So you go to the examples of Egypt and Moses and Joseph, Sodom and Gomorrah. But all of the Old Testament physical manifestations are in samples. You go to Jeremiah 44:22. So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings, and because of the abominations which ye have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation, and an astonishment, and a curse without an inhabitant at this day. Because ye have burned incense, and because you have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in His law, nor in His statutes, nor in His testimonies. Therefore, this evil has happened unto you, as at this day. And imparted in the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament audience, is the book of Malachi. For these people that are not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, it is likened unto this. Malachi 2:3. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your face, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. Now, you look at through the scriptures, and it's telling a story that everybody is blind to this. And everything's good, and prosperity, peace, gentlemen.
Yeah, and they're waiting to be taken away, because all, you know, they've sold this false gospel, and they don't know that they already are taken. They're taken away into captivity, into the deception has them in captivity right now, and this is the most. The Lord is just you know, I've been a Christian for almost 30 years. You know, I committed my life to the Lord, the first time when I was grafted in the first time in my early 20s. And, you know, I had a radical experience, you know, and then fell away. But, you know, was cut off, and then I was grafted back in again. You know, it happened to me twice. But when I, you know, I would have never imagined that this thing was going to end up like this. You know, as I was just sitting in the, you know, under the teachings that I was, and I heard some good stuff. You know, I had the word planted in my heart by some good Bible teachers, you know. But to think that this whole thing was going to end up like this, I would have never, ever even dreamed it. And I still can't believe it. But it's just so brilliant. You know, the Lord, his wisdom is so simple, but it says, like, you know, it's hidden to those who are wise, but when we come to him as a child, but it never ceases to amaze me, the irony of everything that the Lord is doing today, and the way that he is actually causing his own church to judge itself, as we Phil just said, the way that they've forsaken this new covenant. The covenant that you know, Jesus confirmed with his death, with the loss of his blood on the cross, this huge promise that the Lord's given us that he's going to be our God, write the law in our hearts so we don't have to live under this law because it's written on our heart. And it's been corrupted, it's been abused, it's been twisted, and it's the abomination of desolation that's happening right now. And the way it's all playing out is just so, so amazing that I still, you can tell the way I'm talking right now. It's just, I have moments of that I'll just sit and stare as I see what the Lord's doing, as he's gathering his elect from the four winds. And he's busily about, you know, gathering up his harvest. And the way that it's playing out today, I would have never thought, never even dreamed that this is how it's going to be. But it's just such a thrill to be a part of it.
Bill?
Yeah, you had said two things there in the beginning of your conversation, and I lost my focus on what they were, but they reminded me of two other things. What is being brought about by this drunkenness today is the dreams and visions. And we're, as we discussed this on that, when we were guests on the Visigoth show the other night, we discussed this a little bit, these dreams and visions. But, you know, the first one I can remember was Martin Luther King come along. I have a dream. I have a dream, you know. And basically everything he said was I, me, and my. It had nothing, nothing pertained to the gospel at all. And yet people just slobbered all over this stuff. And we've had a progressive line of these dreamers coming. They're getting more, you know, visions and dreams now as the drunkenness continues. As we were discussing about the dreams of the seven mountains, Chris. And
right.
And yeah. I think we're going to see a lot more dreams and visions.
Well, yeah, you know, and this is kind of funny, too, and I'm not sure how it's going to work out tonight, but... you know, it's going to be hard to maybe see it, but where we're at right now in Revelation 11 is absolutely tying into, if anybody hasn't noticed, you know, where we left off on Joel. Because, you know, we were doing the study on Joel, and at the end of chapter 2, it got real tricky. You know, the former and the latter rain, and, you know, in that day, afterwards I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions, and I will also, and my servants and handmaidens, I will also pour out, will also prophesy. Okay, well, what's the Lord talking about there? There's a lot going on there. And there's good and bad going on in there. And, because when the Holy Spirit's poured out, it's tribulation for the apostate, and it's understanding for the remnant. You know, it all happens at the same time. Another part of God's amazing work, but I've been going, what is that about the old men will dream dreams? You know, praying and seeking the Lord on what that means. And I'll tell you one thing I do know for sure. There's some old men that dreamt dreams that have basically, that are the foundation for one of the legs of false doctrine in the church today. And that is the dream that Bill Bright of Campus Crusaders for Christ and Lauren Cunningham, the leader of Youth with a Mission, came up with one. You know, they both had a dream. They shared it with each other at a breakfast, and it was the fact that we're gonna take back the seven mountains of influence in the world. You know, and it's the foundation of the Dominion theology that is basically the dominant thought in harlot Christianity today.
And let me interject just for a second. If you're a new audience and you don't know what Dominionist is, you don't know what Zionist is, that at this point, just know who Jesus Christ is. Seek ye him. Because all of these people that are in these apostate, and we say apostate kindly, we're pointing out that, you know, it's forgive them, they know not what they do. Because they have no idea, because the scriptures say they are blind. They don't know they're captives. They're in prosperity gospels, that everything's good, everything's fine, you know, the more money you have. They're in, you could say Buddhist, you could say Muslim. You could say a variety of religions where the Lord tells you directly through his scriptures that they're changing the ordinances, they're changing the doctrines. But if you're in covenant with Jesus Christ, you know those covenants. You know those doctrines. You know to petition the Lord for the answers that you receive. And what Chris is outlining here is basically, you know, these scriptures are telling a different tale, that if you're not in covenant, if you're not pricked in the heart, if you're not a circumcised Jewish male, which means male or female, and remember, no flesh is good, so it's not perfect, but it's of the Lord. You're carrying yourself as a holy vessel, the holy temple of the Lord. You will understand this. Chris?
Amen. And that's it, because this is what's going on today. You know, these mega churches, this whole big harlot system, it's all flesh. It's all based on flesh. You know, these people are interpreting these scriptures and these pastors are leading the flock of unregenerate people. They don't have the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's just the bottom line. It's all there is to it. And that's what happens when you don't walk in obedience. You know, it's just, they've been taught this gospel that this twisted form of grace and faith that is construed as you can do whatever you want, be a Christian, because you're covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's not the case, because the blood of Jesus Christ confirmed the covenant that he made, the promise of our salvation, a new and better covenant that we have today. You know, the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. You know, they covered sin, and the blood was always symbolic of the covenant that God had made with his people. But there was just a type and shadow of the final sacrifice that was coming. You know, the new and everlasting covenant, and it's huge. I mean, it's just something that is not to, you know. If people knew what it was, they would not dare abuse it. But unfortunately today, it is completely trampled underfoot, because this is basically what's happened. And, I've got a little study put together on it. It's just a mini study that kind of hit me this week with, we had one of our, dear sisters, Loretta, sent us an email about computer-generated outlay of the new mega church they're building in Florida or something. It was just crazy. And, I just watched this thing. It just dawned on me, what's taking place here. You know, and, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 is an excellent account of the new covenant. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days. So this is the new covenant. Saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And in verse 26 says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. You see, this is the part they leave out. I've heard that verse in the church twisted and explained away in every every way imaginable. And this is the foundation of the abomination of desolation. Because, you know, when you enter into the new and everlasting covenant with the Lord, you literally can't sin. I mean, it's like, I say that, of course we slip and we do, you know, anyone that says he doesn't have sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. But we don't walk in sin. We don't walk in unrepentant sin. That's the difference, you know. But the church today is like the world, you know, the blatant statistics concerning divorce, pornography, covetousness. You look at the parking lots and you just, what's different? You know, that's the thing. The church has become like the world. The church has, you know, been sold this bill of goods that we're to be like the world, to entice the world into our doors. But essentially what's happening is, you know, they're forsaking this new and everlasting covenant by replacing obedience with, you know, unconditional grace. And that's the problem. And, you know, this gets into Daniel because this is what's happening. Daniel 11:32 says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant." Now, this is the piece of scripture that I've referred to often, and I've actually been misquoting this, and I have to repent of that right now. And I got to say, I almost like knew it. I just didn't feel like I needed to deal with it at the time because I was getting a point across. But what's really happening here is the people that are doing wickedly against the covenant. And this is talking about the new covenant. This is talking about the covenant where the law is written on our heart. You know, where the law is summed up with two commandments: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And you know, what's happening today in the church is they're doing wickedly against this covenant. You know, this isn't enough for them. You know, and basically what's happened is the church has put themselves back under the old covenant because they've forsaken the new covenant. And this is what's bad, because the apostate church is back under the law. They've done it to themselves. And this is the brilliance of the Lord. He's allowed the church to do it to themselves. You know, the law did, you know, the law judges them. And but it says in Daniel, those people that do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupted by flatteries. You know, this is what we see in the prosperity minded mega church scene. You know, that it's just flatteries, you know, the whole prosperity movement is just flatteries. That's not what the Lord has for us. We have inner peace, and we have, you know, being sanctified from the world. But, you know, we're not to be, you know, trapped into the riches of this world, et cetera, et cetera. And, but then it clarifies Daniel 11:32. At the end of the verse, it says, "But the people that do know their God," you know, referencing that the people that corrupt the covenant don't know their God, "but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." And the verse before it said, "And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And see, this is exactly what's taking place in Hebrews 10:26. Because, "For if we sin willfully, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, and after we receive this new covenant, there remains no more sacrifice for sin." See, this is the abomination of desolation, because those that do wickedly against this covenant they take away the daily sacrifice. So this is what's going on here, and this is the abomination of desolation. It's happening right now, and that's why we, those who understand among the people, see the abomination, and we flee to the wilderness. You know, and one more thing, I'm going to finish up. I got an email today from one of our dear sisters, Linda, and she said, you know, she's seeing where the wilderness is heaven. There's a definition in the Strong's where it's a type and shadow of heaven. You know, we flee to Jerusalem above is basically what we do. You know, the new covenant, what Bill was talking about. It goes full circle. It's all so simple, but it's the new covenant, the new and everlasting covenant, Jerusalem above, that is freedom, and this is where we are. You know, it's where we stand, all in the Spirit. I'm standing on Mount Zion right now, sitting here in my living room, but it's this is what's happening, you know, and oh my gosh, and this is why it says in 2 Timothy, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. This is where we are. You know, these are perilous times. This is why it's so perilous, because the apostate church is back under the law, and it's not a good thing. It's not a good place to be. You're not positioned where. This is why it says, "But Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name," and God said, "Depart from me, I never knew you. I knew not whence from whence you were." And that means you're not positioned. You weren't positioned in the new covenant. You weren't in the new covenant. That's what it's saying there. And this is why it's so perilous. This is why the times are so perilous. And I think today, my old church I went to, it was a young woman in there died of cancer, and I go, oh, what an awful time to die. You know, it's just like, I'm not going to say, you know, but it's just not a good thing. This is not a good thing going on right now.
Bill.
No. We've reached a point where, you know, when the covenant is gone, then the society is going to reflect that in their actions. As we see no honor among men anymore today. Big difference just in the last 50 years. And that's one of the reasons is nobody's walking in covenant. And they've gotten to the point where it's gotten beyond that now. It's flaunting the sin. They've gotten to the level of flaunting the sin. They'll take the sin instead of hiding it or maybe seeking to not speak about it. They'll go out now and publicly flaunt the sin as if it's a good thing. And this is where you know that there is that's at the point where the conscience becomes seared with a hot iron.
And audience, it's and the milk of Scripture. It's very simple in terms of understanding this. Fully is given from our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's four verses that state specifically exactly what is needed. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 11:9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 13:25. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Audience, that is the situation in the apostate church right now. That's exactly what's going on, because they're following the changed ordinances and the changed doctrines and a different Jesus. And the transition that you have to understand when we go into Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, this is very telling that, you know, you're either going to be, I knew you not once ye are, and I'll answer, and I'll give you the meat of Scripture, because I am the meat, and I am the bread of life. Our Lord Jesus Christ, mercy upon his people. Not one hair does he want to see on anybody. But you're told to understand the parable of the sower. There's the seeds and there's the tares, the wheat and the tares. And as such a time as this, where, you know, the scriptural truths of prophecy are past. If we could go into the pale horse, the horses have come and are here, hell and death. Outside the covenant, treading of the Gentiles.
With death. They've made a covenant with death and hell. See, that's the covenant they've made now. They don't want the new and everlasting covenant, so they make that covenant. That's how dangerous this is.
And when we look at Ezekiel 22:25, speaking scripture audience, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, ravening the prey. They have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things, they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Now, if it's likened unto you're getting dung spread on your face, but you don't know it, you're in trouble. If you're not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not seeking Him, you're in trouble. Gnashing of the teeth, trouble. Very sober trouble. And just because we're doing a Bible study, we have to understand how much trouble everybody's in. This was foretold. In Revelations, it goes something paraphrase. And this happened, and that happened, and this happened, and that happened. Well, that's happening now. And it's getting likened unto Exodus, where Moses ascends as our Lord ascended, and the people are waiting for Moses, and then they're, Moses isn't coming back, and then they're seeking a fleshly solution, a golden calf, and they're pulling stones and gold, precious things to put into that's their souls. And it's a time where, you're in a spiritual battle, and you better get armed by the Lord and let Him fight this fight, because you can't see it coming. All you can see is what the Lord imparts on you to see, to do His will. Our ways are not His ways. Bill?
Absolutely. My ways are not your The natural man discerneth not the things of God. For they are spiritually discerned. They're foolishness to the natural man.
And on one level, it's that simple of the knock, and you shall receive and sup with our Lord Jesus Christ. And on another level, anyone that doesn't hasn't got they're blind. They're spiritually blind. And all the analogies of our Lord healing the blind, what did they do? They went out and preached the gospel. This gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Him crucified.
In Psalms 25:14 says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." I mean, this is the thing, what we say all the time, that the apostate body doesn't fear the Lord. There's no fear of the Lord. This false Jesus that they've been taught is got them so, desensitized to the character of God. But when we do fear the Lord, He does reveal His secret. And, in a way, it's almost like this is what's become of the covenant. It's a secret now. And that it's so obscured that, it's like something the Lord almost has to reveal to you as a secret, because it's just... it's gone from the church, the understanding of the covenant relationship, which, is not, it's like what Bill said, it's just a function of our day and age, because there's no thought of this honor that surrounds the covenant, the concept of a covenant, as it was just a part of life, a way of life in the old days, But, we see something going on here in 1 Corinthians. All ties back into verse 6 with the plagues and what happened after the coming out of the Red Sea, the camp at Mount Sinai, and 1 Corinthians 10:5 says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." And then it says, "Neither murmur ye as some of them have murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer." Here's this. This is the scenario today. As there's murmuring, the stiff-necked apostate, and it says, this is a verse we use all the time, but you'll see where I'm going with this. "Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Because what happened there? In Exodus 32, this is the account. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, well, this is a type and shadow of Jesus. Moses is Jesus here in this setting. And he delayed his coming down. Well, this is the time now where the church is scoffing, you know, and the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. Aaron is a type and shadow of the false prophet, and said unto them,
gathered themselves. See, that's man doing
it. People gathered themselves, sure. And that's exactly what happens, you know. And said unto him, up. It's said unto him, comma, up, comma. Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for Moses, this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And this is 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, you know, where is the promise of his coming? You know, it's just deja vu all over again, like last week's show. That's what, you know, it's just absolutely. What about that up, Bill? You've got some insight.
Well, what I see right there, it's spelt with a capital U.
Oh, yeah, that's something.
This is a signature of pride rising. You could say the loaf is fully leavened. I guess there's a lot of signatures in there, but this is man getting up and doing it himself.
Yeah.
And it's the idle shepherds. This is the money changers. It's likened unto another layer of this audience. The scribes and Pharisees. Instead of being just in Israel, it's now on the inhabitants of the earth. Asia has their idol shepherds. India has their idol shepherds. The Middle East have their idol shepherds.
Yep.
And it's all, none of the people that are following these shepherds are going to see this. They're not following the good shepherd. They're not following our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not following the narrow path. They're not striving to enter into the gate. They're not enduring the process of purification, of the trials, of tribulations, of knowing this. This is pretty, gentlemen, could you say it's pretty tribulational as you go through the scriptures and find out that this is happening in your generation?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we often
like,
question.
It's like the biggest shock that I've ever seen in my life once you come to awareness of it.
And, yeah, you understand all these off in the distance prophecies.
I'll tell you what it's likened to. You know, that beggar person that, I don't know how he had been blind for so many years in the Bible. And then Jesus rubbed the clay in his eye and told him to go wash his eyes out. And now he could see. That's almost what the experience is like, really, when you come to the light and start seeing. It's. It'd be like being blind your whole life, and on a physical level, and then obtaining your sight.
The veil is lifted. It's split in half that you may see. You see things through the dark glass, and they don't. How do you witness to somebody like this? How do you present this scripturally? Well, if it's imparted on you to know the mysteries of our Lord Jesus Christ and read this gospel, and it tells you scripturally that all things will come to remembrance, well, one of the foundations is to study the scriptures. Because no one else is. Gentlemen?
Well, amen. That's it. Yeah, the Lord... He said, go thy way, Daniel. These words will be sealed to the time of the end. And, you know, he's unsealed it to his, you know, his elect, his remnant. And it's the irony of the whole thing. It's just like what we said last week in verse 6, that their testimony will cause the rain, you know, what does it say? And he said the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. So, see, this is all part of the famine and the contrast, oh gosh, I don't even know what words to put to this, the way the Lord is doing this. But the way that at the time of gross darkness, when his remnant, who are, you know, relatively few, are out there speaking the truth into this craziness, at the same time, you know, the rain is shut up. This shut off from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is shut off. The spigot's shut off, and it's for his purpose. You know, this is the way the Lord is doing it. But there's going to be a time coming when you know, the multitude will wake up, and you know, that's what we're tracking with right now, and we're trying to understand what it's going to look like. And you know, and you know, as we're going to go on in Revelation 11 here, you know, the big discussion's been, is the killing literal or is it a figurative? And, you know, I'm here to tell you, it's both. It starts out as a figurative, but it ends up literal. There's no question in my mind that, you know, this is what it takes because you know, unfortunately, the apostate have heaped themselves, you know, back under the old covenant law. And, you know, there's an account of it in Leviticus chapter 26 that, you know, if the Lord leads, probably bring that out next week of this. You know, they accept their punishment. You know, they wake up and they realize what they've done. And it's probably going to be pretty quick, you know. I don't know. There's the signatures like the 5 months and the, you know, the taken away and how all this is going to be you know, how it's going to play out. Yeah, one side note, I was laughing to myself because it's what happens. Like Bill said, everything, you know, as you go along here, you realize all this stuff's already happened. As the Lord, as the clay, you know, on your eyes, the mud on your eyes comes off, and you can see. And then, you know, like the big funny thing in the conspiracy world that, you know, with the implementation of the New World Order, you know, we're going to be hauled away to the re-education camps and retrained into the new way of thinking. Well, hello, you know, I hate to tell you this, but you know, you've already been retrained. You know, I mean, this is what's happened. You know, we've got these change agents like Rick Warren and Bill Hybels with this UN peace agenda, and this is what's happened here. You know, they've taken over the churches with this social doctrine that is not the covenant. It's not the covenant doctrine. It's this the social hive mind, you know, gospel by committee mentality.
It's the strength in numbers gospel.
The strength in numbers. Yeah, like we just said, we'll gather ourselves.
Yeah.
Gather ourselves and make our idols. You know, I mean, that's what's happened, you know. And
dress ourselves. This is the valley of decision that people are naked in. You're told, Ephesians 6, that you're to be armed with the armor of our Lord God. And if you don't know that, then you're naked. You're told at the wedding supper analogy that, you know, you got to have the proper dress. You're told that people don't get in. People turn it down.
Yep.
They're busy. They don't have time to study the gospel. They don't have time to understand what the Lord is imparting on them because it's through his word, it's through his gospel that it's imparted.
Right. I see this as being, you know, I could be wrong about this, but as far as I remember, if my memory serves me correct, the Church of Laodicea, the multitudes of Laodicea is where we are today. This is the one church that God is not in the midst of. I think the other six churches, and you might correct me, Chris, if I'm wrong, that God or Jesus is in the midst of those churches. But the Church of Laodicea, he's not in the midst of that church. It says he's outside knocking on the door, and that's the calling men to repentance is the way I see that. That's verse 20 in Revelation chapter 3. But I think that the Laodicea is the only church that he's not in the midst of. I could be wrong about that.
And audience, go
ahead.
That's
where we are today.
And it's also the analogy of darkness. We're told in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Well, that's in covenant 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, that's not in covenant. These are the wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Well, the mist of darkness is the false gospel audience.
Yep.
It's the, you know, it's the Mormon church doctrine. It's the Latter-day Saints. It's the this 4,000 denominations. It's global. And you'll notice the transition from when Israel took the land of milk and honey, that it was the neighbors that they were imparted on. And they were told, don't mingle. Don't mingle. This is all of the Lord, and do the will of the Lord, and don't mingle. But the kingdom of Israel then had conflicts throughout. But now there's a transition where it's the inhabitants of the earth are under these analogies.
Absolutely.
That the inhabitants of the earth, whether they be of one religion, one color, they're all under this judgment. And this judgment is basically that if you're not in covenant, you're in idol worship. And you're guilty of idol worship. Bill?
Yeah, you said something interesting there, that little light bulb went off in my head when you referred to the Latter-day Saints. I guess that's what the Mormons call themselves, the Latter-day Saints?
Nope. Yeah.
Yes, the Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
What
struck me there is, you know, the latter day, and as Chris has often said, you know, they're like a sleeper cell for these end times, and you know that's just secretly coded the multitude right in there.
Well, that's who they are, because they believe that they're
saints.
They feel like they're the physical tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh.
Yeah.
That's what their teaching is.
Physically. Yeah, but I just never really saw it in the name before. But Bob just mentioned it there, and it just went off in my mind. That's it right there, Church of the Latter-day Saints.
Well, Satan knew the doctrines of
that name. I mean,
Satan knew what to go after. You know, he knew all the key doctrines to go after, and that's one of them.
And audience, go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, what we're doing now in Revelation 11 here is basically bringing out the truth of the Mormon doctrine, you know, the Latter-day Saints, the multitude that they identify themselves with on the physical layer, not realizing that, you know, spiritually, you know, the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh are a type and shadow of the end-time multitude in the church that wake up, that come back to the Lord. You know, that return and take root downward, you know. Not to mention the counter to the Mormon church is the Jehovah's Witnesses, who have attacked the identity of the 144,000. Again, you know, it's like a taboo subject, but it's huge. You know, the latter day servants and prophets that speak the truth into the apostasy, you know, are the, you know, key players in the end times. And, of course, Satan has everybody confused on that. You mentioned 144,000. Anybody in a Christian church immediately thinks you're a Jehovah's Witness. You know, he did a very good job.
How convenient, right? How convenient. Yeah. Right. Yeah, Satan is so clever, it's beyond comprehension.
And all it is what Bob was just talking about, that the inhabitants of the earth are the ones that are under judgment. Well, the 144,000 are the ones that are redeemed from the earth. That's all, you know. So it's just not that.
He's covered every angle, so you can't. What do you call yourself? You call yourself a Christian. The world looks at that and like, ugh. If you say 144,000, aha, he's an idiot, JW. He's just got all the bases covered.
And he's a cunning hunter. He's hunting for souls. This is a conspiracy. And as you look at this and you say, well, you know, I'm reading my Bible. I understand this. I understand a little of this.
Another big one that he's done is if you realize that you're ruling and reigning now spiritually, they'll immediately tag you with it being called an amillennialist.
Right.
It just doesn't matter which way you go.
And
or
it's
they refer to you as a preterist, but.
But you know, there's a big piece of scripture that grabbed me this last couple of weeks, and that is Isaiah 34:8. And this is what we're talking about, you know, in this day. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. I mean, this is a huge piece of scripture. This is the third identity that Satan has completely twisted with this dispensational Schofield doctrine that has basically run its, you know, the last 100 years has basically controlled the seminaries. All but controlled, and boy, it's just like 34:15 says. Then shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. I mean, this is the gathering of the vultures, the gathering of the eagles. When this is what it's talking about in Isaiah 34, the controversy of Zion, the identity of the true Zion, because the majority of people think that Zion is that piece of real estate in the Middle East, but they don't realize that they're Zion. You know, the follow me to Zion. You know, we're on a journey to Zion with the Lord, where the Lord is seated. And, this is just a huge verse that I never knew was in there, but it's so clear. This is the day of vengeance that the Lord's wrath is coming down on. You know, it's about the... This is all about destroying your heritage and forsaking your birthright as Zion, as the Israel of God. And, this is where we are today. These three key, doctrines are absolutely twisted and distorted today.
Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest doctrine really... that corrupted the church, if I had to pick one, it's very likely the rapture, because the rapture is the ultimate doctrine of flattery.
Yeah.
And if you fall into that, you've been flatterized so much that they can just slide you into the 70 weeks of Daniel, slide you into the Jews being the chosen people, into the 7-year trib. And
yeah.
Truly was a that was the key doctrine of flatteries.
And what's this gross arrogance that is that doctrine, that when the overflowing scourge comes, it will surely pass by us. And this is the thing, that the church is just in such perilous such danger. And I just cringe when I think about it, as the Lord takes us deep into this understanding. And it's not going to be good. It's just not going to be good for them at all. But he does promise, and then we see these scriptures all manifesting these prophecies. You know, the only thing we haven't seen is the latter rain outpouring, which is going to be when the multitude wake up. And is it happening now? We want it, because we do see the Lord gathering his flock one by one. Is this going to be a radical? But it probably is going to be manifest as a pretty violent event, as the end comes, because of the gross darkness. It's just hard to imagine anything but some real shock to get their attention enough to bring them back when they lose everything, when the economy collapses, this tinderbox that is the military-industrial complex right now. Who knows where that's all going to end up? But, we're going to just keep plugging along here in Revelation 11. And, we're winding things down tonight. I was just going to real quick read the verse. We're not going to be able to get into it tonight, but I was going to maybe set the stage for next week. and to share a couple things, you know, closing thoughts from myself, and then, you know, we'll see where that goes. But Revelation 11:7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And then, you know, the discussion here is the word kill. You know, it's from G575 in the Strong's. To slay, to kill outright, figuratively to destroy, put to death, kill, slay. Well, what do we know? Well, you know, in these tricky pieces of scripture, we do know that we know that old men are dreaming dreams and they're wrong. You know, that's a test with a difficult piece of scripture. We do know that God's remnant are speaking truth out there. We saw accounts of that, and we know it in our own lives. You know, the persecution and abuse, hatred. You know, our friends wroth with anger over what we say. This is all, you know, the account of what's taking place here in verse 7, you know, and we're killed. You know, I was killed. I was put out of the church I was a member of for 20 years, and, you know, it was, I was literally destroyed, you know, my life as far as the physical goes, you know, but it's all good because through that the Lord, you know, the hail, which I liken to that very persecution and hatred, you know, was what woke me up. And I absolutely see this process playing out right now. But, you know, next week what I'll really look forward to doing is pick up where we left off in Joel, because believe it or not, this is what's going on here. Because in Joel, what did we see? You know, we saw the, you know, that which the palmerworm had left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust had left the cankerworm had eaten, and that which the cankerworm had left the caterpillar had eaten. You know, and this is the... the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, which is the false prophet coming out of the earth. You know, he was cast into the earth. You know, we see that account of Satan being, you know, cast into the earth, and out of this bottom, this beast comes out of the bottomless pit. You know, which is likened to the firmament of the earth, and it's the same dynamic going on here. These are the scorpions, the locust scorpions that have, you know, eaten away at sound doctrine here in the last days. You know, the last 100 years of solid false teaching that has, all but diminished the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why the conflict is, because the prophets, the two witnesses are speaking the truth, their testimony, you know, into this harlot system of lies. And as we see, you know, Joel continue on where we left off, you know, the former and the latter reign, the former reign moderately, and the Lord restores the years that the locusts have eaten. And, you know, we're going to see that process going on here in Revelation 11. And so, you know, just want to encourage you to stick with us. And, you know, one thing in Joel, this is a piece of scripture that Bill turned me on to, that is our cry. You know, Joel 2:17, let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? And you know, this is what's happening. You know, we talked about the church doesn't know their Zion. You know, they don't know that they're Israel. And, you know, they have given their heritage to reproach. And this is what the Lord is going to do. You know, he is going to clear up the controversy over Zion right here. And we're going to see it. You know, we'll see it play out. You know, there's definitely an account of that here in Revelation 11 as we continue on. And just trust the Lord to keep opening it up to us, because it's very difficult. 11, 7, 8, 9. You know, the timeline is very tricky. You know, we say we could figure it out easily if we could move them around. You know, put verse 8 before 7 or something. But, you know, I don't think we should do that. The Lord pretty much tells us not to do that. So we need to just seek him, and he will. He's always faithful to open it up in his time. And if he doesn't, well, then we'll wait, and we'll just wait until he does. But I'm inclined to really stick with this, because I think it's now. I think this is all right now. You know, we saw an account of a witness at a big Christian congregation, you know, a convention over the summer. You know, he stood up in the middle of this thing where there were thousands of people in this auditorium following one of the Signs and Wonders false prophets, and spoke truth into this meeting, and he was ushered out, you know. And all this dynamic going on here was taking place there. You can see it clearly. And we're here. You know, we're here. How long is it going to drag out? Well, you know, I say the longer the better, the more people that come to repentance. Because God is long-suffering, you know, wishing that none should perish. And, you know, absolutely clear that we're in a time of God's long-suffering. But, you know, there's a time that comes. You know, he's long-suffering and patient, but... you know, his wrath does come, as sure as anything ever you could ever believe in. It's going to come, and it's when the last of his elect is gathered. You know, he wishes that none of his sheep would be lost, and they won't be. You know, he'll gather all his sheep, and when he gets the last one, it's going to be time. So, you know, stay tuned. And this is Chris Ardern, just thanking everybody for the support, and until next week.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, I would just, maybe I might want to just touch just for just a moment on Revelation that we were looking at in 11 there. It says they shall overcome them. Before it says it, then it says, and they shall kill them. And overcome is gain the victory over them. And that's something I hadn't really seen in that verse before. And kind of the apostate church does gain the victory, as the word is pretty much silenced now.
Yeah.
The two witnesses are pretty much silenced.
Oh, yeah. The truth has no place in the harlot church system.
They have truly won the victory over them. And obviously, in this realm, yes. We know that.
Yeah.
And audience, it's our great hope that we convey to you the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we give all praise to him, that we seek ye him and not us. Seek ye him, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. Good night.
Behind the gun should be, they got me thinking about eternity, but some kind of X.